Need some outfit inspiration? See the hottest street fashion Utah has to offer in our monthly Slug Style feature.
Shh, are you listening? This is Slug Soundwaves. My name is Arcadio Rodriguez, and I play guitar and sing for the band Pickpocket. I'm joined by Scott Stevens, who plays bass, and Aaron Mary, who plays drums for us. We're playing our first show as a band on January 2nd, 2018. It's going to be at Urban Lounge. It's a free show, and we'll be playing along with Filth Lords, Fuck the Informer, and Queen Adilla, and it's going to be a good time. I'm really excited for that show. I think it's going to be a good amalgamation of different styles, and should be a good old time. I was born and raised in Puerto Rico, and I lived there for what is still probably the majority of my life. I first started getting really interested in the making of music. It was probably around ninth grade. There was an after-school band at the private school I was at the time, and they practiced after school all the time, and I had to stay after school often, so I would sneak into their rehearsals because a lot of my friends played in there. Eventually, I would start to gaze and look over at their gear and their keyboards and guitars and drums and all that sort of stuff. After I spent enough time in there, I became enough of a nuisance that people started teaching me stuff and teaching me notes and little licks and chords and stuff. And then that slowly started to bubble up until I finally learned like one, you know, solid lick with chords and stuff on keyboards of a song that was really popular at the time in Puerto Rico. And it just blew my mind that I could play the same stuff that was being heard on the radio. I moved from Puerto Rico to Colorado. My dad got a new job. I went from like this really, really small private school to this huge public school in Colorado, which is awesome. And I got really lucky because it was probably one of the best music programs out of any public school in Colorado Springs. I started taking piano lessons at that point too, just private piano lessons, and just kind of going through all the basic piano books and learning arpeggios and scales and all that good stuff little by little. And then at the end of my first year being in high school in Colorado, I decided that I was going to audition for the jazz band. The keyboard player that they had for the advanced jazz band had some scheduling conflict, and I got bumped up to the advanced jazz band, which was really cool and I was really excited about, but it was also really intimidating. The first rehearsal, the first song, was a tune that started with a really complicated and funky electric piano Stevie Wonder style riff. I was really put on the spot, and I had like 30, 40 musicians just looking at me, waiting for me to get done with my intro riff so that they could start playing. And I fumbled through it like 4 times, and I couldn't complete it, and it was really embarrassing. And so I just gave up on it, and I was like, I'm sorry, I need to work on this. I can't just sight read it. So that night I went home and I worked on that like 4 hours until I got it up to speed. And then I went in the next rehearsal and I played it really well. And I was really excited about it. And after that, it was not necessarily smooth sailing, but the fire had been lit. The title of the song, which is funny enough, called Hit the Ground Running by Gordon Goodwin. That song has a lot of nostalgia for me because it's really kind of the one of the things that really got me super motivated into playing keyboards and doing music and taking music seriously and all that. And oddly enough, that was, I think, the seeds of, because Aaron, who's playing drums for Pickpocket, is a jazz drummer mainly. He gigs around town pretty consistently doing jazz gigs. But the drummer that we had in that jazz band, he was an amazing drummer. He was phenomenal. He was super tasteful with everything he did. And so I think from then on, I've always wanted to play music with a jazz drummer. After Colorado, I moved here to Utah. I keep falling into these musical opportunities that I don't plan for, but end up being really advantageous and good for me and positive. And so I got into the U and I started in piano performance, and I moved to music education, and then I moved to composition. The cool thing about the U in Colorado, jazz was really, really heavily emphasized, and the elite groups of every organization that I was a part of in Colorado were the jazz musicians. When I got to the U, that wasn't the case. Classical musicians were kind of the elite groups, the choirs and the symphonies and piano performance majors and that sort of stuff. I had come to Utah with this idea that I was going to really focus on jazz. So I was just like, you know, this is the card I was dealt. So classical is really emphasized here. So let's see what classical music has to offer. So I slowly started getting into it. And then eventually I moved over to music composition. And then when I got into music composition, I think with any music degree, and I think most music majors would agree with this, there's like an uphill hump that you have to get over, and it's probably the first 2 years when you're taking all your theory classes and stuff that's really tedious, nothing makes sense, and then people start throwing 21st century classical music at you and you get really angry about, like, why is John Cage the way that he is? But once it clicks and you get it, it's really gratifying, and it changed my outlook on music as a whole, but me as a person as a whole. I started to explore this, you know, looking at music in a really philosophical way and thinking of the whys of music, and that applies specifically to the music I'm writing, as to like, why use this chord versus this chord, or this harmonic progression versus, but also applies to, you know, it keeps getting more macro and macro as you keep looking at it. So why this song versus this song, or why this sound versus that sound, or why this band name or versus that name or whatever. So I question everything as I go. At a certain point, it almost halted my creative output because I got too concerned with that. I've sort of learned to kind of dial it back and hone it down, and maybe sometimes don't question things that maybe the answers to wouldn't really get me anywhere anyways. Me and Scott met at work. So we started playing together earlier this year, and we just kind of wanted to do like indie rock jam stuff. So we just started writing stuff together, and now in the couple months that we've been writing together, we're just like, he is my favorite person ever to be in a band with. Scott plays guitar mostly, and he's really into recording, and that's his forte. But the cool thing about what me and Scott have going is that I do most of the writing, and he doesn't get in the way of what I'm doing. We never clash on anything. He really sets up an atmosphere for me to be able to get out whatever I need to get out and write and put stuff together and organize stuff. That's really important for me to like be able to organize stuff. So like we jam in his basement, and that's where we write stuff, and he's there with me, and if I need him to play a note on this thing and a note on that thing, he does that. He's just really set up the perfect environment for us to be able to be creative together, even if I'm spearheading that. Anyways, that's how me and Scott met, and that's the sort of dynamic that we have now. Aaron, I met through the School of Music. He's still going to the U, and I went to the U. I have a friend, Eric Devi, who plays trumpet. Eric rents out a house that's really close to the U, and he's really particular about having mostly musicians and whenever possible jazz musicians living along with him. So he has this house that's full of jazz musicians that are like hardcore jazz musicians that do not stop practicing, that practice all the time. And so Aaron lives there. Yeah, we just kind of started a friendship, and we've been friends for a couple years. And then after me and Scott had been writing stuff for a while, we were like, well, we need to find a drummer soon. And now that I have a lot of jazz friends from the School of Music, I was finally able to like get my high school dreams a try. And I was like, I think I want to get Aaron because he's a friend. And he's super nice, and he's really good at drums, and he plays jazz drums, so I really wanted somebody that could play a whole bunch of different styles. And even though he came in later, once most of the songs were already written, he's had really valuable input. So I have a problem with words, and words in music. Words mean a lot, and they carry a lot of meaning for different people, and people interpret things differently. So a lot of what I'm doing with this band is whenever I do choose to use words, they usually are meaningless on purpose. And my idea or my goal is I don't want to inject my own meaning into lyrics or band names or EP names or album names or song names. They're vague to me. They don't mean anything to me. And neither does Pickpocket. The name came from a really trivial thing. My girlfriend was doing laundry and she took stuff out of the dryer, and there were probably like 30 picks in the dryer because I always leave them in my pockets. And so we went with pickpocket. I am really interested in seeing what people's ideas would be as to why we chose that name. And I'm really interested in seeing like what people think lyrics mean, or what did the lyrics mean to them? Because some of these lyrics are really random and weird and they don't make any sense. But some of them, if you want to give it some thought, you can pull some meaning out of them. I've showed some of our demos to a couple people, and most people don't understand what I'm saying, which is on purpose. When I'm putting words together for lyrics, I'm not really concerned with the meaning of words. I'm concerned about the sounds and how words sound and the syllabic content and whether they fit the melody that's already in my head or not. That's a lot of what's going on there. I'm not thinking of the voice as a way to get a concrete message out there. It's just another instrumental voice, and I'm thinking about the melody and rhythmic content and how that fits in with what's going on with the guitars and bass and drums. A lot of how those words came together were, if I want to make it somewhat artsy fartsy or whatever, so it was a lot of chance operations, which is stuff that I picked up in school from, you know, people like John Cage and some of the more modern composers. We have this song called Pictures Trying, and there's one part in there. It's really, well, I'm not singing really fast, but I'm singing fast, and I'm singing just one note the whole time. All the words that I'm saying on there were just me hitting the middle button on my text on my iPhone like 100 times, and I'm just singing those words. And it's pretty much the words I use really often when I'm texting. So yeah, I was like, ooh, I'm gonna do chance operations. And even though these lyrics don't mean anything, I've never been happier with lyrical content in my work before, because I have tried to write meaningful lyrics before, and it's just a pity party, and it's a bummer, and I don't like it, and it's really embarrassing. And so I was just like, I'm just gonna take myself out of it. If anything's gonna come out, it'll be subconscious. The next song you're gonna hear is called Chasing Birds. It's one of my favorite songs that we've done. It's really fun and dancey and really fun to play. Hope you guys enjoy it.
Oh,
Just as a reminder, we have our first show at Urban Lounge on January 2nd. It's going to be a good old time, so if you can make it, please do. And then you can find us on the Facebooks and the Instagrams, and we're also on Bandcamp, where we have a demo of one of our songs up on there, and you can find our Bandcamp at pickpocketslc.bandcamp.com.
Slug constitutes Utah influencers. We use our voice to nurture what's important in inspiring a healthy community: music, arts, lifestyle, and events.